The
thing about bongs is like that is the purest. That's one of the purest hits you're gonna get because right, it's nice and cooled off. Yeah, but upkeeping the bong is like the hard part.
Yes.
Because they're then like, you know, the day after the bong is filthy and you're like, ugh, then you're just like, then it's like counter con of like if I were to get a bong, like I would convince myself that like this is the cleanest air possible, this is the best, not the best for your lungs, but like the least damaging for your lungs. But then the next day, if you're gonna hit a dirty bong, you're like, you might as well be fucking smoking a cigarette.
I'm dead. Yeah, I really admire people who wash their bong every day, like yeah. rinse it and only fill it when they're using it.
I will never be that guy.
No.
And I know it. And I know no. it. Sarah Ellsworth, how the hell are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy to be here. We've been trying to
do this for months.
Since like August, I want to say, when you brought it back.
But you're super busy. It's not like you were like, oh, I can't.
We're both busy.
Thank you.
We're booked and blessed.
Yeah. I was jotting down some notes about you, and you're like a triple threat. Let me think. Like, okay, let me just... And I also had to prepare myself because I was like, okay, the last time a theater kid was on the podcast, they just ran me over and I could not keep up with them. And
drop names.
It was Graciela Hamilton.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I love her, but man, I could not. I was exhausted. I was exhausted afterwards. And also, I'm still happy to have, but because of Graciela Hamilton, I was prepared for, tell me. Okay, so I said to me you seem like a triple threat. Now, just been flipping through your Instagram and stalking you on social media, you dance, sing, act, and now you do comedy.
True. Yes, I won't say I'm a dancer. I'm okay. Definitely a mover.
Okay. Okay.
Booty shaker, groover, uh-huh. Decent with choreography. That's
already way more than
that's gonna be the last one on my list though, for sure.
Okay.
So
then where did it start with you? Were you a third grader and you did a play, or where did it start with you?
Pretty much, yeah. Like I luckily grew up in a pretty low income neighborhood, but my school still really valued the arts. So okay. We got to have like a music class once a week, and we would do little talent shows in my after school program. We do Christmas plays and little talent shows and stuff. So all that stuff like piqued my interest really early.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like little Christmas plays, like singing in the chorus, or I did choir or any of those things. I don't remember a time where I didn't like that stuff. I think it's because my mom raised me on like Disney movies.
Okay.
So all those are like musicals.
Yeah.
So singing and life like kind of just seemed like a hand-in-hand kind of thing.
Okay.
So from a really young age, I just was interested in that and put myself in situations where I would be participating in that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So you singing is there. What are you, an alto?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
I've got a pretty decent range, but I would definitely say like range, meaning I can sing tenor, and alto and like mezzo, like, so I'm definitely not a soprano, but I have a decently
well altos. Like sopranos are like the gifted ones, and sopranos are the gifted ones, and altos are the talented ones.
Aha!
I said it.
That we're so talented that all of our harmonies are dun, 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 dun,
dun, are they?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a lot of times where I get the alto part in a song, and it's very much just the middle, like sustaining that one note in the middle of the chord.
It's the one that's holding everything up so that the altos can shine.
Yeah.
Right. Or the sopranos can shine. Yeah. I keep getting it backwards
on the melodies.
Yeah. Did you do any instruments?
You know, I always look back and I'm like, I give off band kid energy, but I never did band. I okay. definitely think I just give strictly theater kid energy.
You hard theater kid energy, but because you're so talented, I thought you were going to be like, oh yeah, I was like state honor band trumpet too, but I didn't really love that much. Because you seem like you're that talented of a, like, you seem that talented Shucks. Of a theater nerd kid.
I was always interested. I didn't really pick up an instrument for real, though, until high school when I took a guitar class. Like, it was an elective.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So I got to take beginner guitar and advanced guitar.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very amateur. Very amateur. Like, I won't even call myself a guitar player now.
Okay.
I can fiddle with it. I can play chords.
Yeah.
Basic chords. But I definitely am not as good. It sucks because I got to advanced guitar, and when my teacher halfway through my first guitar class found out I could sing and like to perform, he really just honed in on that. It was like, finally, a good vocalist who can support all my bands and all of the endeavors.
Right.
And so in advanced guitar, he really just had me like recording a lot of music, singing.
Okay.
And not teaching me, no offense, Mr. Bender. Not teaching me much, because again, low-income schools, he was teaching a beginning class at the same time the advanced class was going on, just like in a separate room.
Okay.
Teachers work very hard, and he's like running between the rooms, and he's like, you guys got it. And in my advanced guitar class, there was a guy that I hated. He gave let me just paint a picture for you, going from bottom down or bottom up. Starts with some raggedy flip-flops.
Oh, I already hate him.
So he is open toe.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
He's got some straight leg denim that's too long, so it's frayed at the bottoms and wet underneath the flip-flop. He's got usually a long trench coat. Like
Was it a black one or a brown one?
It was it was like a brown.
And could you tell it was a trench coat that somebody gave him?
It was like a thrifted one, for sure.
For sure.
Because it was definitely too big. And he was a large guy, but he was too big. He was very pale. I don't want to say albino, but like very pale and super blonde naturally.
Yeah.
White eyelash type.
See-through.
And the shirt was always one of two My Little Pony t-shirts.
What? Definitely thrifted
also. He was a brony. He had a My Little Pony wallet, a My Little Pony computer, wallpaper on his phone, and it was like a My Little Pony with titties.
Ooh.
So he was like a proud brony.
Wow, that's weird.
This is like 2013.
Yeah, he was ahead of his time. What's he doing now?
I could not tell you.
Besides being the subject of a podcast.
Literally, if you're out there, bro, I hope you're not a brony anymore.
Well, he probably has a child that's a brony now.
That's so scary.
Yep.
I hope no one procreated with him.
Somebody definitely did.
Oh my God, I'm giving him too much airtime. But he ruins that class for me. And he, like, literally my teacher would be like, all right, he'll teach you what you need to know. And he just had issues. So I don't really play guitar anymore, but I really only wanted to play guitar so I could play chords and like sing along and like write my own little songs.
Yeah,
that used to be like my ultimate dream when I was in like high school. I was like, I'm gonna be a singer, like a famous singer. I used to think my destiny was American Idol.
Really?
When I was a
kid. Did you ever try out?
Hell no.
Did you ever like at least be like, okay, the auditions are in June and I could be ready?
Nah, I never went that far. I think it's because I was into it when I was too young and I never had a guardian.
Okay.
Who would have taken you? Like my mom would be like, nah, we're not going to San Francisco for that.
Okay. All right.
She supports me a lot, but.
Did you grow up out here?
Yeah. I'm from Rancho Cordova.
Oh, really?
I was actually born in South Sac.
Okay.
And like grew up in Elk Grove a little bit with my grandma, but mostly
Rancho. Yeah, South Sac and Elk Grove are like right. I mean, it's like just one street to the other.
Exactly.
Yeah. So is that where, when you talk about the schools, those were the public schools you went to?
In Rancho.
Okay. Yeah. Where'd you go to college?
I went to college in Fullerton, California.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
What led you down there?
I actually originally wanted to go to Chapman University.
So wait, let's back up a little bit. Senior year, where did you apply to?
I really wanted to go to Chapman. So that was like my number one school that everyone told me, oh, you're going to get in. Like you have great recommendations. You're well-rounded. So I put all my eggs in that basket, but I wanted to get out of Sacramento. I was like, this is my ticket to go. Yeah. So I didn't apply anywhere locally.
Get it, Lady
Bird. When I saw that movie, I was like, I did not sign off.
We're going to talk about that movie.
Great film. So I applied to UC Irvine, UC... Shout out Lexi Acinelli. UC Irvine, UC Riverside, which are like neighbors. Cal State Fullerton.
So you definitely wanted SoCal. Well, where's Chapman?
It's also in Orange County.
Okay, all right.
It's very close to Fullerton.
What made you love or want to go into Southern? Did you spend time in Southern California?
I mean, like, I would go visit for vacations mm-hmm. and like when I go on like little mission trips with my church and stuff, but I just like growing up in California and like loving to perform, you're like, that's where it's at. That's where you gotta go.
Okay.
That's where the teachers are. That's where the good, you know, credits are.
Okay.
So
when you were planning to go to college, it was already about performing, or was there still like, oh, I want to be a history teacher. It was about theater.
Yeah. I applied to every performing arts program, basically, for musical theater, acting, TV, film, anything like that. That's okay. really all I applied for. Like, I never went undeclared. I never chose a different like major and switched. I chose my path, and I was pretty much like, this is my ticket out. I can get grants and shit to like support my living out there, because I didn't have
right.
anything.
Right.
I was like, my mom was like, go you, but like, you gotta do it on yeah. your own.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, like if I want to live in Southern California and I want to do this, I'm gonna have to pay for, you know, living expenses and classes anyway. I might as well get the college experience with a degree. I'm doing air quotes, y'all. I know it's a podcast. To do this, to do what I love to do. If I'm going to be in debt, I'm going to do what I love and learn nice. What I okay. need to do.
I love that.
Yeah. So it was always that.
Mm-hmm.
Those were all the programs that I had applied for.
Okay. And then when did you come back to Sacramento? So you got into Fullerton.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the experience? Did you have any regrets? Did you get into like two or three schools and you're like, I'm going to go Fullerton? What was the hard choice?
Yeah. So I got denied from Chapman. So my whole world, I thought, crumbled. But my mom was like, all right, well, you got into XYZ schools. So let's pick the ones you want to visit and let's go on a whirlwind like trip. So we like drove down from Sac to LA and we hit like four schools in like 48 hours. It was Cal State, LA, Cal State Fullerton, and then UC Irvine and UC Riverside.
Mm. Irvine and Riverside are so fucking far out there.
They're way out there. And I have still really have no sense of geography. Like, uh-huh. I don't fucking know here from there.
Yeah.
But in hindsight now, I'm very grateful I was in the Fullerton area rather than out in the bumfuck.
Yeah.
Irvine and Riverside. They're really nice campuses. Get it. They're UC. But, like, they were so sterile. And, like, nothing like, and it was just so not hospitable.
Well, they're not like art schools, are they? Are
no.
they considered? They're not.
No, and
yeah,
no, they're like very much science and like
yeah,
business schools. And you know what? Fullerton's top two majors were business and nursing, very similar to Sac State. I actually chose it because it reminded me of Sacramento with had a lot of trees and a lot of agriculture and stuff. So I was like, oh, this feels very like home. But they mm-hmm. had one of the top 15 at the time performing arts programs in the country.
Was the experience what you wanted or what you needed?
Yes, I definitely learned what I needed to learn, but it was tough.
Okay.
It was tough. I learned lessons I was not prepared for.
Really? What was some of the hard lessons you learned?
God, some of the hard lessons I learned is just like,
or was it just hard because you were homesick and it was just challenging?
All those things, yeah, but I mean like the program. Like, the program I went to was a cut program. That's what they call it. So, I didn't have to audition for the school. I just got accepted and enrolled in the program.
Oh,
which
okay.
means you have to kind of prove your worth as you keep going. And it's on a cut basis.
Oh, wow.
So, everyone gets in to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then, at the end of the first semester, you have a jury, which is an audition, basically. And you either pass or you get cut. And at the point of getting cut, you forcefully have to change your major.
So what was your audition piece or what?
Oh my God.
Is it a song and dance? Is it a monologue or what is it?
It for musical theater, it was singing for the first. And then the second semester was singing and acting. And then the third semester was singing and acting. And then the fourth one, because you had to do this for 2 years before you got into the program. That was the last 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Was a 3-hour dance where you basically have to learn choreography for ballet, jazz, and tap. You learn the choreo and then you audition it. It's 3 hours of your day. And then you have to do a big singing one where you do two contrasting pieces and then an acting one where you do like a 3-minute scene with a partner.
Fuck.
And the odds are not good. It goes from like 200 to 10.
Uh-huh.
But I was doing musical theater and I got to a point where I was like, this program doesn't feel like it aligns with me, the musical theater one. And I really was enjoying the acting side. So when I juried the last one, I said, I want to be considered for either the musical theater BFA or I want to be considered for the acting BFA. And at that point, they selected me for the acting BFA and switched me. But once I did that, I got cast in my first musical.
It'd be like that.
It'd be like that. So I was like, you still want me? You still need me? So I still really got to do it all. And I was very grateful to not have to change my major.
Wow.
I was in too deep at that point.
I wasn't sure if I wanted to ask you whether or not you got cut. I was like, I'm just going to let her tell the story. Yeah.
Yeah. I was very, very blessed and grateful. So I got to continue and work with my acting teacher, Svetlana Efremova, if you're out there listening.
Wow.
She's amazing. She like still works on Hulu, Netflix, Apple TV. So she's an inspiration to us all.
That's amazing.
She was on that show Shameless.
Yeah. That show ran for like 9 seasons, didn't
it? Yes. Yes. She was the Russian pimp.
Oh, I fucking, you know, I love that show, but also that show, like that show and Breaking Bad.
I love Breaking Bad.
I'm worried that I'm going to relapse.
Oh my God.
They just make drug use look so much fun. And I'm like, oh.
You are so right. Have you ever watched Euphoria?
No, I can't do that shit. No, I can't. I can't. I'm not. I'm still like, I still have to work on my sobriety. Like I have to work on it, and that's I have to look for things that trigger me, or like I have to be cognizant of like the things that I'm thinking about while I'm watching this. And those shows make me have bad or good thoughts, depending on how you look at it.
Wow. That's so intriguing. I really never put it into that kind of a perspective.
Well, that's good, because hopefully you weren't a drug addict.
I'd just be like getting hella high, smoking weed, and being like, damn, he's really cooking meth. That's crazy. Yeah,
that's how you do it? You can like, get
damn,
that,
let me do that.
You can get that at Rite Aid, you know? But that's great. So you go to college, you do good, and then were you thinking I'm going to stay in down south, or did you want to come back to Sacramento, or what was the... And I'm glad you're back in Sacramento.
It led me here, you know? You're where you're meant to be.
So, what, did you resist coming back? Or were you like, I'm never going back?
Oh, I definitely was in the never coming back camp. I was like, never come back. And you know, it's crazy. Like, I would come back for Thanksgiving and Christmas and like really romanticize Sacramento. Like, oh, they have seasons here.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. I was driving through Midtown today and the trees are almost there. The trees are almost there.
I know. Oh my God, I'll show you a picture when we're done with this. On my street, it's really okay. Popping off.
Uh-huh.
There are no seasons in Fullerton. It's just like...
It's hot.
And like people love that. They're like, yay, it's sunny around. And I'm like, I miss fall. I miss winter. I miss rain. I was very much not wanting to be there in Fullerton either. But I was like, I'm definitely not coming back to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized like LA like wasn't my scene.
It's not.
It's a great place to go. It's a great place to visit. I don't know if I would have left Fullerton or even stayed in the Fullerton area and gone further south, like San Diego. I've got a bunch of friends in San Diego, which in my mind, it sounds great. But, you know, you don't get to be with your friends all the time.
I love San Diego.
It's I could move to
San Diego
place.
Right now.
It is a perfect
I would leave
place.
The dog.
Close your ears and help me. That's so funny. Yeah, it's a beautiful... Beautiful place. It's a perfect place. Like the best place probably in California.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I ended up getting pulled back here because my mom was going through a nasty divorce. And she was just like, just come home, man. And I was like, like shit was just going south. And I was just like, not sure what my next move was.
Was it like, I'll go back there and help mom get through this, but then I'm getting the fuck out.
Yeah. And then COVID happened.
Oh.
But I actually got pulled back. The reason I decided, okay, I'll come back to Sacramento for this, it was not my mom's divorce, LOL. It was because I got offered a tattooing apprenticeship.
Oh.
So I came back to do that.
That wasn't even in my notes. What the fuck? Okay.
That's what I did in 2019.
So you're back.
In 2019.
So you come back 2019 to do a tattoo apprenticeship?
Yeah, February 2019.
Is that on hold or did that just not work out?
It just didn't really work out. It was actually like a longtime friend of mine. Mm-hmm. But she was really far in her career and was not aligned with a shop owner at the time and decided that she was going to cut ties with that shop owner that we were working at together, and she was going to move on to a more luxury shop, which aligned with her purpose a lot more, and it scorned me pretty bad at the time, but hindsight, I very much see she was looking out for herself and her career.
Of course.
She blew up. She was already incredibly talented. Mm-hmm. I'll show you her Instagram after.
Local?
At Jessa Tattoos. She's amazing.
Okay. I'll follow.
Yeah. There's you know, no bad blood there.
I don't know if you just caught me going like this, but do you have tattoos?
Yeah, I got a piece here from Maddie.
Maddie, let me see your Maddie
piece.
Shout
out to Maddie. It's a memorial to my schnauzer, my 16 and a half year old schnauzer. It's a schnauzer skull. I'm probably going to add a kitty skull for my kitty that I had to put down. But yeah, we're actually still working on it. LOL. Shout out, Maddie, if you're listening. I got to get some stuff colored in because I went to her. I got a really bad sunburn, like historically bad sunburn. And I had like a tattoo appointment like 2 days later, and I was like not super sunburned here, but she was like, your whole body is inflamed still though, so it's gonna be a bitch to heal, so I will do some, but if that's your skin.
I love that about Maddie is that they will tell you this isn't gonna work, like you gotta do this. I fucking love every single piece that Maddie has done for me.
How many do you have now? Because you got a few. You got one touched up. You got that new one.
So I took improv classes with Maddie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shout out.
And so Maddie did this one.
I love this. Is it the Blues Brothers?
It's the Blues Brothers. Yeah. So Maddie did this one. Maddie touched up this one. Then Maddie did this one. This one. This one. This one. This one, and then cleaned up this one.
Hell yeah.
So I belong to Maddie. Like, that's, yes. I think, like, at this point, like, I don't want anyone else.
Yeah, I actually have another one. This was the first one I got from them.
Uh-huh.
It's a Australian fruit bat.
Okay.
Holding a pomegranate. Believe it or not, this was the Australian bushfires in 2020 before COVID, when that was, like, the worst thing we'd ever seen. Mm. They did a really cool flash sheet of animals from Australia.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, if you had a bat, like, I would get that. And they were like, hold up.
Did they message you back like two hours later?
Yeah, they were like, hold up, like, I'll do one. I'll give you like a special rate since you're doing it for this cause. But if you want to do like a bigger piece or like a custom piece, let's do it. And so that's what they did for me. And that was the first one I did. And then I have this one. And this one is the first tattoo I ever did. I did it on myself.
Yeah, we were talking about that a lot of times, like, you're the first customer victim.
You got to do
it. You're the palate.
You got to do it. You got to see what your depth is like and make sure you're not hurting anybody too bad.
Yeah.
It took me a while. It took me like 3.5 hours. Did it hurt?
That spot hurts.
It was a tough spot, but it was more so like psyching myself out. Like, like the focus of trying to make it good while also being like, wow, this is my skin.
Yeah.
And I have one back here. It says agape.
Okay.
If you know what that word is.
No, what is it?
It means unconditional love.
Love it.
I learned it in church as a kid. But it always just felt like a nice motto, like a nice way to live. So I always lived with that as like my kind of motto. Like, I'm going to love you unconditionally and have that be open-hearted to people.
Yeah,
until you give me a reason not to.
They're doing this for me, and we're gonna put it on merch.
Oh, hell yeah!
The haha is gonna be like, we're gonna do stickers, and I don't know, but that's the next.
Yeah, definitely want more.
Yeah,
definitely want to be. That's the
next thing. Yeah, I can't wait it's almost like a therapy session every couple of months of just sitting there and being in a little bit of pain with somebody you trust and just kind of like talking about, like, it's great. I love it. I love Maddie.
That's a beautiful way of putting it. Shout out Maddie. Yep. Everyone get tatted by, what's their name on Instagram? Maddie, like, hot.
Oh, they changed it.
Hot Mad Tattoo.
Yeah.
Hot Tattoo Mads.
I don't know.
Something like that.
Scroll my Instagram. You'll find them.
The cool thing is Maddie actually tattoos in the salon that I get my hair done into.
I've always wondered, like, that place is so dope.
Justin is dope. Justin is like the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one who does my iconic hair. Yeah, I went through a really bad breakup in the end of October 2021, mm-hmm. and I'd never been to a professional salon. My mom has a barber's license, so she's cut my hair my whole life, like just straight cuts, whatever.
So you don't, so you're missing the whole salon experience.
Yeah,
the whole, because like I love getting a haircut too, and like I love, like in the past 20 years maybe five different stylists have cut my hair. Like that's it. Like
yes, I like it's very like personal.
Yeah, and like I either love them or I'm like I don't, you know.
Yeah, and it, I just really went to him and was like, hey man, I'm like just feeling really not like myself. I feel like I lost myself kind of in this relationship, and I never been to a salon. I kind of just want a real haircut. And he was like, what do you want? And I told him some things, and he looked at me in the mirror and was like, can I just do what I think is gonna make you shine? And I was like, yeah. And he gave me just this bad bitch haircut, like went against all of my preconceived notions of what a haircut looked like too. Like, oh, I'm scared of getting bangs, I'm scared of getting choppy layers, I'm scared it's too short, like I've got too round of a face, blah blah blah. And he really built me up in that chair, and I've been seeing him ever since.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
So shout out to Black Moon.
Yeah,
that's hair tattoo studio.
Yeah, it's on Broadway.
Yeah, yeah,
and across from,
it's like behind where I live now, so it's very, okay,
very convenient.
Yeah, I drive by all the time.
Yeah.
Shout out Maddie, Justin, all the people.
And I knew this was going to happen. We've been talking for 27 minutes. We have not talked one speck about comedy, but I'm cool with that.
We could talk forever, Jesse.
I'm cool with that.
We could talk forever.
I think we've talked about Lady Bird before.
Probably.
And let me just tell you that for me, from my old man perspective, when I moved to Sacramento and I started making friends, I came to Sacramento in 2013. Okay. And I started meeting people and I started making friends and I started like learning the city. There was a lot I didn't understand about the city, but then once I watched Lady Bird, I was like, I get it. And I fucking love all these kids. I love it here. Like, it really made me, like how I think they said it was her love letter to Sacramento. Like, I get it. It was like finding like a love letter that somebody wrote in like 2013, you know, in the early 1900s, and then just re-falling in love again. It was like, I was like, this is, like you said earlier, this is where I'm supposed to be. That's how it made me feel about Sacramento and the new friends that I had made at that point.
That's beautiful. I really do feel that that movie shows Sacramento in a really nice light, but also shows, I don't know, I feel like kind of that, I just dropped that a little, it shows an authentic experience.
And they totally nail the whole different, the neighborhoods and the wrong side of the tracks, and the, you know.
Yes, that's why I was like, this is about me. Like, yeah.
The thrift store is right there.
I know, yeah. I know. And they were talking about getting rid of it, and I was like,
no, nah. It's stuck around. I closed for a while, but it's still the thrift store, and it's open, and like, yeah.
Yeah, the scene where she and her mom go and do like their special feel-good thing, which is like going through the Fab 40s and like fake looking through the houses and stuff. It was crazy because like that house they went to on the corner is this big gray mansion in the Fab 40s. Mm-hmm. Is a house that me and my mom and aunt would pass every Sunday. It's right around the corner from the church that I grew up in.
Okay.
So I would drive through the Fab 40s every Sunday to go to church. And that house was always the house, I guess my mom has said from a young age, she's like, that's gonna be my house one day when I win the lottery or whatever. And so when her and her mom, and I took my aunt and my mom to see it on Thanksgiving at Tower when it came out, because I was home for the holiday.
That's dope.
Yeah, so on Thanksgiving morning we like went and did that and all watched it. And when that happened, they were like, want to do our thing, and it showed the gray mansion. Me and my mom were like, this is us.
Wow.
So it really felt similar, and like leaving Sacramento to go to like do the arts comedy.
That whole segment we were talking about, that I was like, this is, you know, did you call yourself Lady Bird in high school?
No, it came out when I was in college.
Okay.
I definitely was,
so it's
like,
not about you.
I relate. Okay. I didn't go to Catholic school.
I know. Would you've talked about church a handful of times. Do you still go?
I don't really still go. I feel like a very spiritual person, but not like in a biblical way.
I hear you.
I have no hard feelings about the church. It's just like,
I love it. Okay.
I grew up in this church. It's very like close to my family. The pastor I had, who recently just retired, shout out Ted and Vicky. They recently just retired from their ministry. Like that was just it. Like, I'm not a very churchy person anymore, but I have no hard feelings, and it brought me a lot of beautiful people and community in my life.
The times that you've brought it up have been all like in nice reflective moments. Right? Yeah, definitely.
I just never felt called to go find a new church family. I practiced just my faith.
I think you have found your new family in comedy.
In comedy and performance, really. Like that, like the show that I did actually too yesterday, the cabaret, was for Sarda, an arts community for Sacramento, and we performed in this church that we performed in last time as well. So there's something very spiritual about going into a church and being able to sing and just fill it and kind of feel connected. But yeah, I wouldn't say like I'm out here like saying scriptures and stuff.
No, because I've never had associated you as a churcher, or because we run into a lot of like ex-churchers, like we know a lot of ex-Mormons, right?
Right, that's very classic.
So, yeah. Okay. Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a part of me, like that I'll probably talk about in my comedy at some point. Just funny stories, honestly. I met a lot of kooky folks. I did a lot of kooky things, like something that used to be a yearly thing I looked forward to every winter was going orange picking at the cemetery.
Which cemetery?
East Lawn.
Really?
Yeah. So
that's the one off of Folsom, right?
Yeah, next to the Trader Joe's. That's right by where my church is.
That's why I know where it's at.
In Fab 40s.
Yeah, just... If you're trying to help me find someplace, just like put it in relations to a Trader Joe's, exactly. And I'll be able to find it.
My family is like buried there, like my grandma, my grandpa, my aunt, uncle. So they're buried there, and it's close to my church. So we would go in the winter because that's orange season. Did you know that East Lawn is full of orange trees?
No.
Did you know that is what the bodies are fueling?
That's so interesting.
It's like an orange orchard.
Okay.
And they let us kids go with our pastor to East Lawn sometimes in the rain and just in the spooky winter fog to go pick tons of oranges. And then we would do like bag lunches for Loaves and Fishes. So we'd like make a bunch of like peanut butter sandwiches and give the fresh oranges so they can like, you know, boost their immune system and do all that stuff. So that was something I did. We did every winter when it was like peak orange season. But yeah, just a bunch of kids like dancing around on graves. It was very sacrilegious, I feel. Putting ladders like on these old graves.
Yeah.
But that's a fun thing about me.
Okay.
So we're a real spooky lady.
We're at 2019. We're getting close to when you decided. And did comedy start with you taking Johnny Taylor's class or where did comedy start? Did the pandemic make you I've talked to a few people and they were like, I'd always wanted to do it, and then the pandemic was so dreadful and so like the world might end, I decided when I got the chance I'm gonna fucking do it. So run with that. Or when did you how'd you end up in? I don't think I was in a class with Johnny Taylor with you, but I think I went to one of the shows and you were
my TA for a couple.
Well, but the very first time,
but not in the class.
Yeah, the very first time I saw you, I wasn't in the class. I think I just went to the show.
Yeah, that was my first time.
Yeah. And so, is that where comedy started for you?
Pretty much. Like, when I decided to really take a stab at it, mm-hmm. I made a New Year's resolution, as corny as it sounds. Like,
no, not corny at all.
I think all comics maybe, or even some people will say something funny and be like, I'm gonna put that in my Netflix special, just as a trolly moment. Uh-huh. And I found myself saying that a lot, and a lot of my friends being like, you should try that. And I've always been like the loud character-y one. Like, that was my whole thing in college. It was like not the ingenue romantic lead, but like the quirky, weird character on the side, the comedic relief, the silly, wacky, funny one. So it's always been like in me. And so I made a New Year's resolution, and I actually almost took the class at Comedy Spot. Mm-hmm. Because I just like saw it pop up and I was like, damn, like that's crazy. Like the
stand-up 101. So there's a big difference between stand-up 101 and storytelling.
Correct.
How did you land in Johnny's class?
I saw that the Comedy Spot class was going to be like in December, and I just let it pass me by. I just didn't sign up. I didn't register. And then it passed, and I was like, damn, I'm going to make that my New Year's resolution, okay, when January rolls around. And we get to January, and I'm thinking about it. And then, like, I want to say, like, first week of February or something, I saw that Punchline had posted, hey, we have a storytelling class. And I was like, storytelling? that sounds like kind of my alley. Cause I'm not like a huge jokester. Like mm-hmm. I don't have like one-liners and stuff, like right. which isn't something I'm saying like I don't do, but it's not my mm-hmm. main medium. So when I saw that, I was super intrigued, and I knew Johnny because I saw him open for Melissa Villaseñor.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, I know this guy, and he tells great stories. I was like, oh, that kind of gave me a little bit of confidence, and trusting like that I would be in good hands. And mm-hmm. then I actually talked to Chad Opitz, because I saw him also
open that day. Didn't he host that?
Yes.
Show?
Yes. Okay. So that was like like
Chad was the host, Johnny was the feature, and Melissa was
okay. What a fucking great night at Punchline. Yeah. And I went to that show by myself. Like it was like in maybe June or July. So this was way before, but that had like planted a seed in me. I was just like itching with the bug, like I did with theater, like I did with singing. And so I told Chad, I was like, hey, I'm taking the class with Johnny. He's like, oh hell yeah, you're in great hands. And I was just like feeling good about it. And I just went. Yeah. And that was in February or early March of this year. And I took it.
Yeah. Wow. So it's only been a year. It hasn't even been a year.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely feels like I've been in it longer. But when I look at the year,
I think like with you, with all of your theater stuff, like there was no state. Were you still nervous to be on stage?
No, not really. I still say it though, like that doing stand up to me is harder than Shakespeare.
Is it?
Yeah. Writing your own material. For me, it's like telling the truth, being vulnerable. Like some people write jokes which are like, I don't want to say lies, but like jokes that are untruths, mm-hmm. but they're funny. Yeah. Like, funny situations. You come up with a great premise and a great punchline. Yeah. Say it. But mine are all from my thoughts and my life. And it's like, I don't get to hide behind a character. Mm. If they don't like it, it's like, oh, they don't like the character.
They don't like me.
They don't like me. They don't think I'm funny. They don't think my words and my choice of story is funny. So it's a lot more vulnerable to me than doing a play or a musical or singing or anything. But I was already really comfortable on stage talking to people like that. So I felt like I had a huge leg up because a lot of people need to work on their stage presence for a long time, even with being funny naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I had that leg up for sure. And I've told the story about getting hit by a car, which that story does not work at mics because it's a 5-minute long story.
Yeah, that's what's hard about
stories. Just don't work at mics, which I had to learn painfully. My first time at Golden Bear, I told the car accident story. I was like, this will be good. And I felt like I bombed. It was a weird energy that night too, though. I went first on my first time at Golden Bear. And then I stayed and watched everyone, and it was kind of a weird night. But I'm not going to use that as an excuse. It taught me that 5-minute long stories is not good for open mics.
Okay.
And it pushed me.
And it made you have to write something that wasn't a 5-minute long story for the next open mic.
Yeah. I've come a long way in like just like learning how to write jokes.
How do you write? Are you a pen to paper person? Are you a notes in your phone person? Are you a voice message? What do you do?
I am all of the above. Okay. 100%. I wish I was like Alvin, man. I was talking to Alvin the other day outside Henry's, and he was just telling me, like, he was like, get that notebook out your hand. I was like, I know. He's like, you are funny. Like, you will do much better. Just get that notebook out your hand. I'm like,
I agree
in the way that where it's like, what you said might have been funny, but it's like, just try and think of the idea and riff it. But I am married to my page, and I think it's because of the theater thing. I don't try and script it, but I do take a lot of notes.
Mm-hmm.
My ADHD ass like has to write it down like in the moment or it's gone.
If we like just started like turning this house upside down, we'd find like 30 notebooks. Just like I'm a notebooks, and it goes back to where like I think initially like growing up I wanted to be a writer. Like I wanted to be like The Outsiders is my favorite fucking movie, so like I always thought I was Pony Boy sitting at my fucking at my desk. And so I've always been a pen to paper person, and I love my notebooks. I have turned around at the corner and come back to get a notebook because I don't have a notebook to. It's like almost a security thing now at this point.
That's what I was saying. And that's what I told him. I was like, sometimes I don't even look at it. It's just like, I want it there.
Dude, I'm this far from taking a notebook on stage. Like, it's like, I don't know. But I love my notebooks.
Yeah, so I do write a lot of stuff like in my notes because my phone is usually nearby. But then I'll like kind of take those bits and bobbles and put them to paper and write out a set and kind of see how the jokes interweave together or how a thought can go in as a premise into a joke or maybe how I can link my jokes together. But yeah, like I definitely do write my shit down.
Yeah,
I love a notebook. I think it was the other night too, and I was at a mic and I had like all my notebooks and like a bunch of stray papers out, and someone was like, "Damn, what the hell?" Because I looked like a crazy scientist with like all my papers flying out and like trying
I have notebooks and pens. I have pens everywhere. Like I just need it. I feel safe.
Me too.
What are you doing more of now? Comedy, theater? What is it hard to find a balance? Do you feel like you're cheating on one?
Well, the thing is like I got to a point where, and this is a post-pandemic thing because pre-COVID it was thriving. I was working with B Street and touring like with their
really
yeah their
B Street Theater.
Mm-hmm. Shout out B Street and touring for their school tour when COVID like happened. Traveling to elementary schools, hanging out with little kids all day. So that was in like performing their stories. So it was really interesting, fun medium. But after COVID, things were just weird coming back. And I tried with a few local community theaters and it was never a fit. It never felt like it was worth my time or my effort and my care and my talent. Like I was like, I'm professionally trained. Like I really want to spend my time wisely. It's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just had to take a break because I was not vibing with the leader of one of these theaters, and it just kind of broke my spirit.
Okay.
And even my friends were like, damn, like,
but then luckily really comedy came along.
Yeah.
And you put those creative juices into comedy.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like
are you the type of person that you're gonna do, like, do you write sketches? Do you You're giving me like a Broad City vibe.
I really don't.
You don't
write scripts. I love to perform scripts.
Okay, so you're not a writer.
I'm not really like a character writer, plot writer. I probably could like as an exercise.
Uh-huh.
But I was never like, writing stories of that weren't. I feel like that sounds full of myself. I never wrote about not me.
Okay.
Broad City is amazing though. I do love that show, and that is the love dream. That
show. I was thinking the other day, is Broad City this generation's AbFab? Absolutely. Did you ever watch Absolutely Fabulous? AbFab?
I don't know.
Okay, there was a show like in the 80s called AbFab, and there's these two girls, and Abby, and I can't remember
who. Oh, word. It might be. Abby Jacobson.
Well, maybe it wasn't Abby. No, never mind. It was a British show called. I'll show it to you. I'll show it to you. Yeah.
But maybe.
Okay. But yeah. Okay. Sarah, let's we could talk for hours, but let me I like to, and I'm not saying we're ending the podcast now, but we're turning the corner. We're turning the corner, and I like to end the show with
oh, you little baby.
And she's like, I was just fucking sleepy. She's like, I'm gonna come with you. Yes, did you see that shit?
Yes, can you believe he did that?
I like to wrap the show up with a segment I call Five Easy Questions.
Ooh.
Are you ready for five easy? They're really easy.
I do like
Are easy. You ready?
Yes.
Come All on. Right. Who or what inspires you?
What the hell? You said easy questions.
That's just easy.
Who or what inspires me?
Yeah.
God, everyone.
Everyone?
I really do feel like I'm constantly inspired by the community around me. The world around me fascinates me.
What inspires you about the community around you? Are you talking about like the your community or your comic community? What?
I'm talking about any of the people that are like in my corner.
Mm-hmm.
Your
tribe?
Yeah. Which I'm still finding, you know?
Hell yeah.
It's so weird and hard to make adult friendships.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm grateful for people, you know, like you and like
thank you
that are so open to bonding and creating something. Because a lot of people I feel like are like, I got mine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need you. And that's fine too. It's like, you're not my people. But I'm really inspired by the community of people around me that do support me and just like past experiences, I feel like I always draw from that. Yeah.
All right.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay, I promise you the next one's easier.
That was hard.
All right. What are you currently binging?
What am I currently binging? I'm always binging some form of reality TV. I'm a reality TV junkie.
Really?
Yeah, I love to dissociate and watch like Hot People Problems, like on Love Island, or I love the show Big Brother, which is like a huge social experiment. What am I binging though? What's like a TV show?
It doesn't have to be a TV show. It could be a podcast, a book series.
I might start Britney Spears's book.
Almost done with it.
It's included in premium.
Oh,
the audio.
I used an Audible credit for
it. Oh, word. Yeah. Yeah, it's included in Spotify Premium, I guess.
Oh, I don't have Spotify Premium. I'm an Apple Music guy.
Oh,
are you Android?
No.
Oh, sorry. I was not trying to.
I'm an iPhone user. I thought so. Apple Music had this. Is crazy.
Oh, I love Apple Music.
I don't know. I never got into it.
We'll talk about this.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what I want. I've just finished watching this season of Big Brother.
Okay.
I love Big Brother.
All right. What are you afraid of?
What am I afraid of? I'm always afraid of like the unknown, really, which is like a terrible fear in life. Because
there's a lot of unknowns.
Yeah, like I get thrown through a loop sometimes with uncertainties and change. I wish I was more go with the flow. I'm a Virgo, very grounded in like I need structure.
Dude, don't even.
You get already me started. Know. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
So sometimes fear of just the unknown.
I can't go to a restaurant and not have looked up the menu.
Dead ass.
Before I get there,
I like almost need or to the, be craving a specific thing to
or
go
the
there.
Parking situation.
Yeah.
Or the.
Oh my god! I used to have a job like in downtown where I didn't have like a parking spot like I do now.
Fuck that. I couldn't do it.
I literally would leave my house 2 hours before my shift just to get a certain parking spot that I knew was like a 10-hour parking that I'd be okay and not get a ticket for my 8-hour shift.
Okay. Yeah.
Anxiety.
I hear you.
So
hear,
yeah. Fear of the unknown.
Okay. All right. If you were on death row, what would your last meal be?
I love this question. I have it very prepared.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, real talk, it depends on the season that I'm going to be executed in.
All right.
It depends on the season.
We can do a couple of them then.
Yeah. It depends on the season for me. So... if I were to be executed in the spring and or summer, it would be like a poke bowl with all the fucking fixings. Like, I want the salmon. I want the tuna. I want the seaweed salad. I want the crab. I want the wonton chips. I want it all. With spicy mayo all over it.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. So, like, just a delectable poke bowl or a lox bagel.
Ooh.
It's kind of in the same family.
What are you, from New York?
Yeah.
How did that pop in there?
No, they got those at Noah's, huh? I love lox. Yeah, I watched a lot of Food Network growing up.
Okay. All right. And if it's in the winter?
If it was in the fall or the winter, it would be a bowl of spicy ramen.
From where? Like,
from Ryujin. You ever been there? Let's go.
I was trying to figure out a way to get you to take me to ramen.
Let's go. I'm serious.
No, I love ramen. It's like a couple of weeks away from ramen season.
I already went.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was like that first rainy day like a few weeks ago.
Yeah, okay. All right. I get it.
But yeah, like a big bowl of I get the akka, which is the red spicy pork tonkatsu.
Oh, fuck. You're going to teach me some new stuff at ramen.
Bruh. The rich broth, the freaking umami egg.
The egg is the... With ramen, the egg is the best. But I don't know. It's the egg is one of the best. Like, I've ordered ramen before and not had an egg in it. Or like, just wasn't paying attention to what I ordered. I was like, fuck.
I judge a ramen place on their egg.
Mm-hmm.
If it's simply a hard-boiled egg cut in half.
Nah.
F.
It's got to be soft.
It's right? Got to be it's soft. Gotta, there's got to be jelly.
Yeah.
With the marinated. So yeah, if I was executed in the fall or winter, I would be eating a big ass bowl of ramen from either, I don't know, the number one spot in Japan or Ryujin.
Okay.
Or Ryujin. I literally only want to travel so I can eat.
I hear that.
Literally all I think about. I want to, and it's white trash too. It's like, I want to go to Hawaii for 7-Eleven. I want to go to Japan for 7-Eleven. I want to go to Korea for 7-Eleven.
Okay. All right.
Because they got the good shit.
I had Spam this morning.
Yes, I saw that.
You didn't talk to me about white trash.
I was like, that was my spirit. I was like, that was my spirit when you woke up this morning. I was like, damn, take me some fried Spam.
I can fry you up a sandwich. I can make a sandwich.
Fire.
What's next for Sarah?
I mean, I'm really just trying to keep going.
Yeah.
That's really it. It's like, I'm just trying to keep writing, keep improving, keep getting stronger and better, keep showing face. That's like one of the hardest parts is showing up and doing constant open mics. That is not a joke. It's rough. Open mics are rough spots to hang out.
Yeah. It's a lot of toxicity. Yeah, it's a lot of like, I mean, I love all the comics. Me I love too. All you guys, but I can't, like, I've worked really hard to get myself out of like environments like that. Mm-hmm. And then to like volunteer and go back into it. Like it's rough.
I am right there with you on that.
It's rough.
That is the hardest part. I didn't anticipate.
Right on.
And it was Johnny too. I had a private Zoom with him. I did his storytelling class probably 3 times in a row. I was like, let's keep going. But then I found it a security blanket.
So you're like, we gotta end it.
I was like, yeah.
Well,
Johnny's my real dad.
Johnny, I went to I had hit a point where I was like, I was so sick of open mics, but I knew I needed to be around the creative process. And then that's when I approached Johnny. I was like, hey, can I sit in the class and like, I don't know, just absorb it? And he's like be a teacher's aide. And I was like, oh fuck yeah, yes.
That's awesome.
And then that's when I told him, I was like, I need to be around it, but I can't. You know, I get so much more from sitting with these folks, you know, every couple of weeks than I would going to an open mic. And I mean, I still go to open mics. I mean, you see me there.
Yes.
But I don't go to 5 open mics in a week because I would relapse.
I'm dead. Yeah, that's how I felt. I was like, damn, I'm smoking more weed than I did in college right now.
Yeah.
Trying to make friends, passing out pieces of gum.
Yeah.
my little nugs. I'm just like back joints, like, you want to be my friend? It's tough. And like you said, it's no testament to the people. It's wonderful people. It's just like, it's just a tough environment.
It is.
It's mentally taxing. And so when I took his class 3 times, and you know, it helps because there's a financial investment, right? Like I'm paying him for his goods. It's like goods and services, right?
Yeah.
I'm paying him. I'm investing my money into someone that I trust, who's going to kind of help lead my way and make sure I'm safe.
Right.
And I told him in the class, I was like, what do I do? Like I was talking to him cause I had booked my first like show that I was going to do outside of the storytelling class. And so when people ask me, mine's kind of backwards. Like I only did gigs at the Punchline, at Callback Bar, cause I was doing the storytelling class.
Yeah.
And then I booked a show at Laughs. So before I'd ever even open mic'd, I was at Punchline like 3 times and then did a set at Laughs.
Yeah.
So then he was like, dude, you have so much material. I'm like, you got to just start going to mics and working on it. You need to go. I was like, okay. I'll go. And thank goodness for the women and the femmes and thems in the community, because we had that, I don't know if you heard about it, the Hobie Q.
No, the girls are the she's, they's, whatever.
Yes.
They are amazing right now. Yes. And it's really what made me want to kick off the podcast again, because I was like, I want to start talking to these people.
Yes, and you have been a great way to amplify the female voices in the community. I've definitely noticed.
I'm trying.
And I think that's important. I really am grateful for Lourdes hosting that barbecue at her spot, and that was really my first time stepping out, even before miking again, to just try and like meet some people. And I that's where I met Audacious, that's where I met Lexi. I already knew Lizzie because we had done a show together, that one at Laughs, and I knew Kendrick from that as well, but and Scott. There were a bunch of great people on that lineup, now that I'm looking back.
Nice.
Nice. But yeah, that's what really just like kicked me off. And then I went to my first Front Street mic that night. I was like, all right, we're doing this. But for a month straight, I did that 6 nights a week. And I was like, oh, I want to quit. Oh,
yeah.
I'm just kidding. You're never going to see me again.
Oh man, Sarah, did we cover everything you wanted to talk about? Are we leaving anything
on
the table?
We could talk about everything.
We could
talk for 3 more hours, but we probably shouldn't do that to the people.
Yeah, I want to go smoke that joint.
Yeah,
let's do that. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been I couldn't wait to do this, and everything I wanted
and more.
All right, let's go.
Bye. Yay.
I'm leaving that in there.
See, bye.
Oh, man.